Wow, wow, what a beautiful day. Why don't you just turn to somebody and say, you look gorgeous today. You look gorgeous today. Praise God. So excited about the kingdom of the Lord. You can be seated. Man, thank you, worship team. Did the worship team bring it today or what? Hallelujah. Just so glad that y'all are here today, and we just celebrate. This is the most exciting day ever. All the events that's happened in the world, none can compare to this day when we celebrate our risen Savior. Come on, we ought to do that again right now. Come on. He is good. He is good. He is good. And we're so excited about one and what God's doing and pressing into this prayer movement that's going to be happening on the 29th. Tomorrow night we will be having prayer here. Also, there'll be some of us, and if you want to join us, leaving to go pray in New Orleans at Summit Church, and we'll be leaving about 5 o'clock from here. So if you want to jump in with us, if not, please contact the office tomorrow, and we'll give you an address, and you can meet us there. But it's going to be a great Monday night of prayer. And I'm so glad that you decided on this Sunday that you would join us for Easter Sunday at the Harbor. Can I get a better amen? Amen. I love Easter because Easter time has my favorite candy. Because only at Easter can you get sweet tart jelly beans. And they are amazing. Yeah, I went to Walgreens yesterday. And I bought 2 for $4, and I got a deal. I started to buy, like, all they had. But I'm trying to behave, so I eat like I'm rationing them. Like, so if you come to my house, my jelly beans are beside my bed. Don't touch them. It's off limits. Nobody can eat my jelly beans. Kids can't eat jelly beans. I don't share jelly beans with nobody. They're my favorite. I love jelly beans. You know what? Do y'all have, anybody know what the number one, if you were here last service, you can't answer this. But does anybody know what the number one Easter candy is? What? Nope. Number one Easter candy is Cadbury mini eggs. Nasty. People just don't know what's good. Number two, what do you think number two is? It gets worse. Peeps. Who eats Peeps? Who eats Peeps? Ugh. Peeps. You got to like those because they're cheap. And you can get a bunch of them for almost nothing because there's nothing to them. Number three. Now, this should be number one. Well, number two after sweet tart, jelly beans. Number two, Cadbury cream eggs. That's just delicious sugar flowing like a river. So good. So good. So good. Of course, you know, number one is a sweet tart. Hey, this is something else I love about Easter. I bought the best strawberries yesterday. Can I tell you that I went to Berrytown yesterday and I bought some strawberries and I set them on the counter for today? They're almost all gone. They were so amazing. Love strawberries. Anyway, enough about food. Y'all be ready to leave before we ever get the preaching done. So, I just love Easter time, my favorite holiday of all holidays. And, I like Thanksgiving, too, because we get to give thanks to God for all the goodness and mercy. So we're glad you're here today to celebrate with us. This is an amazing day. And that song that they were just singing is so powerful, so powerful. Can you put that bridge back up on the screen, just the words? I want you to look at the words of this bridge. I mean, it's powerful. I hope it's more, death could not hold you, the veil torn before you, your silence a boast of sin and grave. Next line. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, forever raised to life again. And then when you do this one, dude, I just want to run around the church. Come on, I want to have one of them good old-fashioned run around the church things right here. You have no rival. Come on, how many of us are here is no rival? Amen. You have no equal. There's nothing like him. And now forever, God, you reign. What powerful, powerful, powerful words. His love for us is so crazy amazing. His love for us is so huge and so big that we can't even comprehend it. It's crazy love. This kind of love that really blows my mind, because when I look at how much he's loved me, and I know me, I know my past, I know where I've been, I know the places, I know the things I've done, but he loves me with this crazy kind of love that's no equal. No equal. I mean, this lady over here on the keys, my wife, she loves me, but not like that kind of love. There's no love like that. You can't even wrap your mind around it. To believe that a man would come to this earth and he would die for my sins, that's beyond me. That's crazy love. That's crazy love. He took on all of my sins so that I could be sinless, even though he was sinless. And one day I'll stand before the Lord because of the cross, and I'll hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," because of the cross, not because I'm good, but because he's good. Amen? Amen. And he would carry all of my pain. You know, there's a lot of people that's carrying around pain today that don't have to carry around pain. I carried pain in my life. And because of his love, he carried all of my pain. Not some of my pain. He carries all of my pain. Somebody said, that's crazy love. That's crazy love. He would take a beating on his back so that I could be healed and that I would not have to carry sickness and disease in my body. He took the punishment that he would make us all whole, fully, complete. Even those who rejected him, he loved. Those who despised him, he loved. His love is crazy love. You know, it's like the scripture says, we like sheep have all gone astray. We've gone our separate ways. We've done our thing. Sometimes we've just gone and done what we wanted to do. And he comes to where we are, and he calls us by name. Come on. He says, hey, Marvin. Hey, you're not just a number. You're not just a barcode. I mean, he knows your name. You know, it's amazing. I love when people say my name. I love when my wife says my name. I mean, after all these years, I still like her to, I don't want her to say, hey. I want her to say, Marvin. And when she says my name, it's valuable. It means something. I mean, she can say my name in different kind of ways, and it means different kind of things. Right? But I understand that when she says my name, there's something awesome about that. He calls us by name. He died on the cross, and he gave himself as a sin offering for you and I. And his love has no boundaries. His love does not have boundaries. It doesn't stop in places. His love reaches to places that nobody else would go. His love reaches to the deepest and the darkest places. His love doesn't stop inside the four walls of the church. But his love is everywhere. And it's reaching everywhere, in the deepest and the darkest places. His love has no boundaries. His grace is for all who will believe. What an amazing thing. When we look at the cross changes every single thing in our life. The cross makes the difference. The blood of Jesus makes the difference. Everything that I ever am or ever hope to be will come out of the provision of the cross. I want to read to you today from Romans, and I'm reading from the Passage Translation. But now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the scriptures prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the fullness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. Come on, somebody say it's a gift. For there is really no difference between us, for we all have sinned, and we all are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and his favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt of punishment and of the power of sin. That is so powerful. Because of his love, he has liberated us from the guilt and the punishment and the power of sin. Jesus, God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins. And now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. We come to him for mercy. For God has made provision for us to be forgiven by the faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice, because until now we have been so patient. He had been so patient, holding back his justice out of his tolerance for us. So he covered over the sins of those who lived prior to Jesus' sacrifice. And when the season of tolerance had come to end, there was only one possible way for God to give away righteousness and still be true to justice and his mercy. And that was to offer up his own son. So now, because we stand on the faithfulness of Jesus, God declares us righteous in his eyes. Come on. What a beautiful word. Where then is there room for boasting? Does our works bring God's acceptance? Not at all. It was not our works of keeping the law, but our faith in his finished work that makes us right with God. So our conclusion is this: God's wonderful declaration that we are righteous in his eyes can only come when we put our faith in Christ and not in keeping the law. All because of Jesus, I'm free. I can't boast today of any greatness in my own life, but I can boast of the cross, and I can be thankful that he is alive and well and working in me. This is a gift to everyone, to all who believe, who all would call on the name of the Lord. He wants to give this gift away. He doesn't have this gift to keep to himself. It's not the story of Jesus only about Jesus. It's the story of Jesus that's about us. It's the gift that he gave to us. In Luke, we find this powerful love story of the lost sheep and how that the sheep wandered away from the flock. But the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes to look for the one. And when he found it, he did not just grab a whip and beat the sheep and say, "Get back to the flock." He didn't put a rope around its neck and tie it up and drag it. But he took the lost lamb and he placed it upon his shoulders, and with love, he carried it back to where it belonged. And he placed it in its proper place with gentleness and kindness. He loves so deeply. And he cares so much about the one that he would leave all the rest, all the 99, to go out and find just this one. And today in this place, he cares about you, the one. You matter to him more than anything else in this world. I know you're sitting in a crowded room today, but today, it's all about you. The cross is for you. His redemption is for you. It's for you. In verse 7, Jesus goes on to say, in the same way the heavens rejoice that when one sinner repents and comes home, all of heaven, the Father and all of heaven rejoices. They throw a party because one has come home, like the prodigal. When the prodigal arrived back home, the father was standing on the porch. He was waiting. He didn't have an angry stick. He had a robe and a ring, and he was declaring, "This is my son. I'm so excited about him being home. I'm so excited. I forgive you for all the things that you wasted. I forgive you for all the things that you've done. What's important is that you're home. You matter." Then I love the story in Luke 8. where the woman with the that came to Jesus, and it was a crowded place. You know, you've been to a crowded place like concerts, or maybe recently was maybe at the Strawberry Festival, and there's just a crowd of people, and they're all over you, and they're around you, and, you know, you're almost being carried by the crowd that's walking with you. It's just crowd, elbow to elbow. And just, have you ever felt that with, like, you're almost feeling like the crowd just carrying you with them? And this is the crowd that was there that day, and there was this woman who had a disease, and she'd been sick for many years, and she knew that if she could just get to Jesus, that she could be healed. And so she pressed through the crowd, maybe the dirty feet of many, as she was weak in her body and pressing through. And I don't know exactly how she was positioned, but she touched the hem of his garment, so I know that she must be close to the ground when she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that virtue flowed out of Jesus. Power flowed out of Jesus at that moment when she touched him. And Jesus turned in the middle of this big crowd, and he asked this question, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciples were almost like, "Duh. I mean, really? Come on, Jesus. I mean, who touched you? There's people around you everywhere. What do you mean, who touched you?" But see, Jesus was not about the crowd. He was about the one. And when he felt that virtue or that power flow out of him, he stopped everything he was doing to minister to the one. The one mattered. He stopped everything he was doing, the crowd and the fanfare and all the things that were around. And people were probably all trying to touch Jesus that day. But when this one touched him and she reached out to him, she had a need, and he felt the virtue flow from him. He stopped for the one. There's something powerful about that, because oftentimes we talk about Jesus touching us, but sometimes we need to press through the crowd and just touch him. We need to recognize that, hey, as he responds to us, we should respond to him, and we should go after him. And when we touch him, he's going to stop everything for us. There's a lot of stories in the Bible about one that are pretty amazing. Jesus was at the Pool of Bethesda, and that day he found the one that was there, and he ministered to him, and he said, "If I could just get in the water," and Jesus said, "Well, you don't need to get in the water now. Now that you've met me, all you got to do is touch me. Just listen to me." He ministered to the one. I love that story of the woman at the well, where Jesus came to the woman at the well. I mean, he went to this place where he was on this journey, and he got to the well, and he knew that there was this woman was coming to the well that day, and he prepared and planned for an encounter with the one, because only that one was the one that mattered at that moment. The blind man. A story of the blind man is a great story, because the blind man was crying out for Jesus, and people were like, "Hey, dude, that ain't cool. Don't be screaming out Jesus. Like, hey, hold up." I love the blind man. You know why I love the blind man? I kind of think I'm kind of like the blind man. Because when they told him, "Hey, be quiet," the Bible says he cried out all the more. Like, I'm kind of like, "Hey, Jesus!" When Jesus heard him cry out, he stopped the fanfare. He stopped parade. He stopped and he said, "Hey, hold on. There's just, this man matters to me right now." He stopped for the one. And then there's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a great story, because Zacchaeus, you know, we sang in Sunday school, he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Y'all remember that? And so Zacchaeus was climbing up in this tree, and he wanted to get a good eye shot of Jesus. He heard that Jesus, this the Messiah, the healer, was coming by his way. And he said, "I want to see this man." Now, Zacchaeus was a notable man. He was a tax collector. He had money. He was going beyond his own self to climb up in this tree, a little humility to see Jesus. It was before they invented the parade ladders for Mardi Gras. And so he climbs up in the tree, and he's looking, and he sees Jesus. But here's the powerful part of the story. As Jesus was walking by that day, not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, but Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he said to Zacchaeus, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree." He said, "Because I care about you so much, I'm stopping everything that I'm doing because I want to go to your house." Can I tell you today that Jesus is interested in showing up at your house and in your life and in your circumstance and in your problem and in the things that you're dealing with in life? Jesus sees you and he wants to spend time with you and he cares about you more than he cares about anybody else. I know today you say, well, he probably cares about everybody else, but I'm telling you that Jesus cares about you more than anybody else. That's how I feel about Jesus. I feel that Jesus loves me more than he loves anybody else. More than anybody else. Why don't you feel that way? Because I've seen him come to me so many times when I needed him. He always stopped everything he was doing for me, the one. Guess what? Jesus probably cares about you the same way he cares about me. And he'll stop everything that's going on in his life, and he'll stop for the one. You're so important to him. He wants to come to your place. He wants to come to your house. He wants to come in your life. And today, there are many, many things that he wants to speak in your life. And the one story that I also remember is Jesus with the children. I love this story. Because Jesus didn't say, "Hey, look, they're just little kids. They don't matter." He took them in his lap. He loved on them. He even talked about the kingdom and how the kingdom would look. Because unless we have the faith as a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. He loved each and every one. So you're sitting here today and you're thinking, "I need a miracle in my life. I need the Lord to come and invade my life. I need the Lord to come and speak into my life. But I don't know if I'm worthy or not. I don't know if I'm good enough or not. I don't know, because of the things I've done, that would Jesus really care about me?" Peter felt that way. Peter felt exactly like that. Matter of fact, Peter had denied Jesus that night, and the Bible says that Peter went back to doing what he was doing before Jesus came into his life. And then Jesus, walking with Mary after his resurrection, he said, "Go tell my disciples. Go tell my disciples." He said, "Include Peter. Don't forget about Peter, but what about, don't forget Peter." And I can't prove this scripturally, but I just have a little theology here today of Marvin 1 and 1. I believe if Judas would have not have hung himself, I honestly believe that Jesus would have said, "Go tell my disciples and tell Peter, hey, and tell old Judas, come on, come on, come on, we're about to have a party. Tell them to come because I care about them." But do you know what they did? I know. I understand. But no matter where we've gone or what we've done, he did not cut us off. He did not say, "Oh, you're so bad." He said, "Go tell my disciples and tell them to come. I care about them." Jesus died on the cross for even those who were spitting in his face and calling him names and sticking spears in his side and placed a crown of thorns upon his head. Jesus died for all of those. Amen. Yet while he was still hanging on the cross, we could have called down 10,000 angels to lift him off the cross. He could have done all kinds of amazing things. But in that moment, he was fulfilling the prophecy that had been given. He was fulfilling the promise of God. He was dying on the cross because he loved mankind. And even in the moment on the cross, he shouted out, "Lord, forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive the one who spit in my face. Forgive the one who stuck the spear in my side. Forgive the one, Lord, who placed the crown upon me. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." Even in his death, his love was being poured out. But the story doesn't end with his death. Because on the third day, and we're celebrating that today. Amen. And on the third day, why the devil was throwing a party, why the devil thought all the miracles were over. The devil was like, oh yeah, we got him now. He's in the grave. No more calling Zacchaeus out of a tree. No more raising the dead. No more sharing this love. We've won the victory. But while the devil was having a party, there was something supernatural happening. And the grave couldn't hold him. Amen. And he come out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he come out of that grave pouring out his love on all mankind. Whoever would believe on him shall be saved. In Romans 8, the worship team can come. Now, Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life is giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. I want you to say that with me today. I want you to say, I am fully accepted by God. Somebody shout, he loves me. Come on, he loves me with an amazing love. He loves me. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life. And by the same spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claim on us at all. And we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. I can say to my flesh, I can say to this sinful world, you don't own me no more. I am redeemed. I have been blood bought. I have been given life. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives in me. I can overcome. I am living now to overcome and to put down all of those things in my past. I walk on my past and I live for my future. My past is behind me and my future is great. I'm living a victorious life because of our resurrected King. Because of our resurrected King. His love. His love is so amazing. His love is so powerful that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. While my life was in all kinds of chaos and confusion, Christ died for me. And in this room today, we have testimony after testimony after testimony of the goodness of God. I look around this room and I know many of you, and I can say that I have heard you say all the wonderful things that God has done. You know why God did that? Not because he owes me, but because he loves me. Because he loves me with a love that's far beyond my ability to comprehend. It's so amazing. And he redeemed me and he set me free. And he gives me life. And he gives it to me more abundantly. You see, God didn't just come and die on the cross to save us out of hell. Although that's a pretty awesome thing. You know, the guy one time, he said in church, he said, hey, he said, does everybody want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand but one man. He said, sir, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, I thought you was getting up a trip for today. Hey. Listen, you may not feel like you're ready to go today. You may not feel like, hey, I'm not sure, but I'm telling you something. God wants to get you ready. And how does he get us ready to go to heaven? Because of the cross, he washes away our sin. And because of his resurrection, his spirit living in us, we overcome the things that have kept us bound. We don't have to go back to the old place that we're at. We live in this provision and the fullness of God. You know what really this is all about? This is about not just about eternity, although I think we have to look to eternity and say, I want to spend eternity. I'm going to spend eternity somewhere. So I want to spend eternity in heaven. But this is about even living here on earth. If we pull heaven down to earth, right. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ walking with us now. It's Christ living in us now. It's the joy of the Lord right here as we face all the problems of this life. It's His love and His joy that's living in us that helps us to overcome all the problems and all the situations that are around us. And just like death couldn't keep Him in the grave, our sinful nature can't keep us to the grave. Because of the blood of Jesus, we come and arise and we come out and we live a life full of greatness, full of hope, full of peace. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Today, we don't just celebrate His resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection power that lives in us. We don't just celebrate the empty tomb. We celebrate the fact that we no longer have to walk in that place because of the empty tomb. And we're rising as well to be with Him in heavenly places. Listen, I don't know today. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you've never said, hey, Lord, I want to invite You into my life. Look, He's no respecter of person. He doesn't love someone in this room more than He loves you. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to fill you with His joy. He wants to fill you with the promise of heaven. Or maybe you're here today and you've walked with the Lord and you feel a little bit like Peter felt. Like, hey, you know what? I feel the presence of God. It's awesome. I sense God is in this place and that's awesome. But my past, I've walked away from God. I haven't done everything I was supposed to do. Let me tell you something. His love didn't run out on you. He loves you the same He always has. Matter of fact, He loves you greater than you even can understand. His love is His crazy love for you. Amen. He's already saying, I forgive you. Before we ever even ask, He's saying, come on, just ask. I want to forgive you. He desires to pour His love out on you more than you can even understand how great it is. His love is so amazing. And He wants us to live victoriously. Out of this struggle of life. Out of this barely feel like we're barely making it through life. No, He wants us to live victoriously. Overcoming. So many times our lives are up and down and up and down. It's because we hadn't understood the power of the cross. We haven't understood the blood of Jesus. We haven't understood the empty tomb. But I'm telling you today, He's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So if you would, today as our prayer team comes, I would ask you if you would just bow your heads all over this place as we bring the lights down on this Sunday morning.